Let's move on to item 1292.
Accept the annual report of the Public Safety Obligation Bond Program Independent Citizens Committee.
I want to welcome this panel and appreciate your patience. This is a review process that's been underway since 2011 to make sure that the funds that were authorized by the voters have been properly expended. So we're looking forward to hearing your report.
Thank you, Mayor Hales, members of the City Council. I'm Kirk Hall. I'm the chair of the General Obligation Bond Independent Citizen Committee. With me today are two fellow committee members, Nicolette Johnson and Mick Seidel. We will try to keep this brief. Just by way of background, in June 2010, the council decided to proceed with a bond resolution. Your council resolution for four projects we'll discuss in a minute. Your resolution had the following language: Portland's taxpayers expect transparency and accountability in the use of these funds, and this will be achieved in part through the appointment of a five-member independent citizen committee comprised of each city council member's appointee that would report annually to the city council and quarterly to the city chief administrative officer. And the bond amount is $72.4 million has been authorized. That was June 2010. It was approved by the voters in November 2010. And the measure also contains the following language that's relevant to the meeting today. The council shall appoint a five-member citizen committee with relevant expertise to review bond expenditures and provide annual reports to the council on whether such expenditures adhere to voter-approved uses. Each council member shall recommend one member to serve on the citizen committee. We have two vacancies right now. The four projects being funded by
to interrupt and apologize for my ongoing vacancy. I know that puts more pressure on you as volunteers, and I'm working on it.
Okay, thank you. There's four projects funded by this bond: new fire apparatus, fire station 21 along the river, radio replacement, and the emergency coordinating center. We have very good news for you today. The way we're planning to handle this is that we, the three current members of the committee, will give you our conclusion about the events over the last year. We had a meeting like this a year ago, and then we're going to call up, with your permission, five city staff members to talk about finance and then to talk about the four projects. And everyone knows to keep it short. I can just summarize. Our conclusion is in your written report, and if you don't mind, it's five paragraphs. I would like to read it because this is the conclusion for the work for the last year.
Please do.
As previously noted, the ICC held quarterly public meetings with city staff responsible for each project funded by the Public Safety GO Bond to review the progress of each project. In addition, each project received guidance and input from project oversight committees. The members of the ICC found the information provided by the city staff to be comprehensive, timely, and informative. Staff members have been responsive to the ICC questions and have supplemented their regular presentations with additional information upon request. ICC members also provided city staff with various ideas and suggestions concerning the projects, to which city staff were always responsive. The relationship between ICC and the city staff has been collaborative and productive. The ICC does not provide either a financial or performance auditing function and can only proceed with information presented to it at its quarterly meetings. With this observation, ICC members believe they have been kept fully informed by city staff and are satisfied with the quality and presentation of information presented regarding the projects. Based on the information presented to the ICC, it appears that the projects funded by the Public Safety GO Bond are consistent with the voter-approved purposes of the GO Bond, and that expenditures to date have also been appropriate. It also appears that execution of the projects to date has been professional and appropriate and was designed to meet the purposes of the GO Bond in an economical fashion. It appears to the ICC that the projects are generally on track to meet their projected budgets and timelines. And in fact, as you'll hear, we've had some very good progress. Overall, the ICC members have been impressed with the focus and professionalism of the city staff responsible for executing these projects, and we appreciate the courtesy and responsiveness the ICC has received to date. So that is our overall report, our overall conclusion. Again, we're going to, this year we decided it would be best if you heard from a short report from city staff members about the status of each project. At this point, I will ask either Nicolette if you have anything to offer, or Mick.
I would like to. Thank you. Nicolette Johnston. And as a member of the Independent Citizen Committee and the Project Oversight Committee chairperson for Fire Station 21, and for the fire apparatus replacement project, I have three comments. Regarding Fire Station 21, this project was kept on track through the diligence of Connie Johnson, the project manager from the Bureau of Internal Business Services. She stayed glued, and I do mean glued, to the details despite several broken bones. The Station 21 team is expected to complete the project within budget, and gosh, I hope there's a little money under budget there.
Please tell me she didn't break her bones actually on the project.
No, she didn't. Okay. Fortunately, it wasn't work-related.
No, nor at our meetings.
Nor at our meetings, yes. I especially appreciate her stewardship of the taxpayers' money throughout the project time frame. Regarding the fire apparatus replacement project, this started with a very short timeline to reject the cost of the 25 apparatus to be purchased under the GEO bond measure. You can imagine all the details that goes into even one fire truck, much less 25. To Deputy Chief Marco Benetti's credit, he sought creative solutions such as cooperative agreements with other cities like Houston and Seattle, which provided substantial savings in time and staff resources. Further, the Fire Bureau looked into such equipment as the Quince to do double duty, and I'm sure you've heard about those. Regarding the financial reporting, with regard to administering the financial reports, Aaron Beck, the finance manager in business operations, handled the grilling and endless questions at the project oversight committee meetings with aplomb and just wonderful humor. Financial status reports are often reviewed as boring, even annoying, and Mr. Beck's thoroughness was particularly appreciated. His explanations left us with a sense of trust throughout the past 3.5 years, and I want to thank them all for being such great employees.
I agree with that. Mick?
I'll just be real quick. There's nothing more I can add. From a personal standpoint, I was appointed by Commissioner Fish a couple of years ago to fill a vacancy. I had not been involved in this type of process before, so I didn't know what to expect. I think, in general, it's been a bit of a love fest. I think the committee has, as the summary we've read indicates, had very productive meetings with city staff. They've been nothing but courteous, informative, competent, and I think all three of us have shared that opinion that it's been a very productive process for us individually. So I think the main charge that we have as a committee is to make sure the city is being a good steward of some money that was approved by the citizens to be paid or to be used to buy certain things and do certain things, and we're here to tell you that we feel the city's been a good steward of that money.
And I'll add one point. The timing was terrific for this because the interest rate you're paying on the bonds is, you'll never see that again in your lifetime. And many of the projects came in, the bids came in lower than anticipated at the time the bond measure went out there. With that, with your permission, I'd like to present Aaron Beck to talk about finances, Marco Benetti for fire apparatus, Connie Johnson for Fire Station 21, Carl Larson, radio replacement, and Jim Coker, ECC. They each will make a very short report. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You just pull up another extra chair or two if you want to bring everybody at once.
And that station moves back and forth.
That big microphone box will slide around.
Carla doesn't like us to do that because it messes up the wires.
All right, after Aaron.
I'm sorry, Carla.
We'll rotate.
I got admonished about that previously.
I've been admonished, but it's consistent with my behavior because I also put my glass of water on my table without a coaster. So I
there's no help for you. All right, Aaron, you've got it.
Good afternoon. I'm Aaron Beck. I'm with the Office of Management and Finance Business Operations, and we provide financial services to the GEO bond program. I'm going to give a quick update on the finances of the program, and this is in your report just after page 3. The original budget for the program was just a little bit over $100 million, and that's after factoring in all of the project cost for the projects like the Emergency Coordination Center and the radio replacement project that had other resources beyond just the GEO bonds. The original budget shows the $72.4 million of GO bond authority that we have, plus the other resources that were available for the ECC project and the radio project. The current budget for the program is around $105 million, and that increase is due to recognizing some grant revenue that we received associated with the Station 21 project and the apparatus project. And then also some additional resources that we've appropriated for the Station 21 project. Through June, we've had two of our three planned debt sales for a total of $51.6 million, and all of the other planned resources have been received, so we've received a total of $85.2 million. Through June, we've spent $59.5 million with the ECC project completed and the Station 21 project and other projects well underway. We're now working on our third debt sale, planning that out, and we'll be updating project cost estimates and when expenses will be incurred so that we can determine when the that sale will need to take place and the amount of that sale. This will factor in the interest earnings that we've received on the project or the program so far, which is $440,000, and any projected project savings that the project managers forecast. At this point, we are projecting that we'll have that debt sale in the spring, and prior to that sale, we'll be reviewing that amount with first the Independent Citizens Committee and then you all.
So, Aaron, does that mean that there'll be, are we projecting that there'll be unexpended funds under the cap of, that's allowed for the?
That's correct. Yeah.
Thank you. Please. Nope. Who's next? Marco?
Yeah, I can speak about the apparatus. This is Marco Benetti, Portland Fire. To date, we've purchased and put into service four rapid response vehicles that are in service around the city. We've got one tiller truck at Truck 3 in Northwest Portland, one heavy rescue, Squad 12, which is a heavy rescue that's out and serving Southeast Portland now in conjunction with our downtown heavy rescue teams. We have one Quint that we've purchased. It's a used Quint that we've been able to put into play at a significant savings, about half is what a new one would cost. We have ordered and nearly completed two fire boats. They should hopefully be delivered sometime in the next couple of months. So we got a few things to work out there, but they're on schedule for near completion. We have one Quint that's been ordered, a brand new one that we've spec'd out based on the information we received from using the used one as well as the current one that's still in service at Truck 8. That will replace Truck 8 in North Portland on North Interstate. That's scheduled to be delivered sometime around April or May this spring. We had an order placed for three tiller trucks, which will replace Truck 7 in East Portland, Truck 22 in North Portland, and Truck 25 in Southeast Portland. And we have two air rehab light units, or combination unit, that is actually going to replace four of our apparatus with these two combination units. So it'll buy us some space on our apparatus floors, as well as kind of make them a combination efficiency in apparatus. So those are going to be going to pre-construction probably next month. The remaining apparatus we have to order are eight fire pumpers, three brush units, but we're looking more at two now instead of three due to we're doing a needs assessment currently with the operations, and one water tender. So the water tender is going to replace kind of an antiquated old four-wheel drive fire engine we have there that has a 1,000-gallon tank on it. That is serving East Portland, and we're going to replace that with a new one that's going to cover the needs of the east side. And the current one we have is down in the central area by Lloyd Center. So we're trying to cover both sides of the city. As Nicolette mentioned, each one of these apparatus is a kind of an instrumental project unto themselves. So each one has specific specifications we have to design and build to the operational standpoint. So we're working hard on that. We're doing the best we can to keep the costs as low as possible and still meet the needs and functionality that we require for the city. And I think to keep it brief, that's all I have right now.
Great. Thank you. Next.
Okay. My name is Connie Johnson. I'm a capital improvement project manager with OMF Facilities. Of the 2010 bond, $7.9 million was dedicated for the replacement of Station 21, formerly called Station 7. At that time, the need for emergency water rescue in the downtown core area had been identified, but all the necessary components of the project had not been. We did have a preliminary geotechnical and structural engineering assessment detailing the structural inadequacy of the existing station and revealing the need for a significant soil stabilization effort to mitigate the effects of soil liquefaction in a seismic event, an issue would have faced at almost any location along the riverbank. October 2011, Welton Architecture began preliminary design work. During design development, the most significant program elements added to the project were a boathouse for two rescue craft and 16 additional pilings and a community room available to the public. The added scope increased the construction budget from the low-confidence initial estimate of just under $5 million to just over $6 million. Additional funds were identified to close the gap, including a balance from the 1998 bond, sale of surplus properties financed by the 98 bond, and a federal grant for the boathouse secured by Portland Fire and Rescue. September 2012, prior to beginning contract documentation, Skanska USA joined the project team as a construction manager, general contractor, or CMGC, and provided pre-construction services such as constructability reviews, concurrent cost estimating, value engineering, and identification of significant project cost risks, also known as unknown conditions, so that sufficient contingency could be identified in the budget. The final guaranteed maximum price of $6,010,828 was approved by Council August 2013. City required additional work added 3 weeks to the original 14-month project schedule, but otherwise the project achieved substantial completion on time November 21st. The Esplanade was reopened the following week, and the staging area was cleaned, restriped, and available for public parking soon thereafter. Emergency responders were able to move from their temporary facility into the new station in time for Thanksgiving dinner. Change orders represent 4.5% of the original contract price and were covered by the project contingency. Skanska anticipates a final change order crediting the city with their portion of the construction savings the construction savings are 75%, lowering that number to 3% over the original contract for a final contract amount estimated at about $6,186,000. Skanska's final accounting should happen at the end of this month, and then I can run a project report and see what we have left in terms of the contingency and that sort of thing. The 2% for art contribution was a collaborative effort between design team, artist, and contractor. The screen facing the river and mounted on the catwalk is called the Rippling Wall. A 10-foot-long wood carving mounted on the wall in the community room is called Ripples in Elm. You'll probably all have an opportunity to see that soon. The station opening is preliminarily scheduled for January 2015. Although the documentation has not been fully submitted, we anticipate the project achieving LEED Gold certification. And I would just like to also thank the ICC and the Project Oversight Committee for their interest in the project. They always brought a lot of attention and candor to the discussion. So,
thank you.
Thank you. Just two comments. One is I had a chance as the Arts Commissioner to look at the art recently. Actually, it was on photographs of it, but I think it's a home run. And the wood sculpture inside the building is also just very beautiful. And so congrats on that. And if the opening is scheduled for January, is it the intention of the Bureau to do an opening and a dedication together?
Yeah, Chief Jansen's would like to try and we're trying to give the fire station personnel a chance to kind of get moved in, get settled in, identify any pickup work, things that need to be cleaned up and brushed up for livability things and presentation to the public, allowing the station captain to kind of get all those things dialed in. But it will be open to the public, and the scope is going to be unlimited, I think.
The event will both be an opening and a dedication? So the former commissioner will be there at that event?
That I'm not sure. I can't speak for the chief on that, but I would assume that, yes.
Okay, who's next?
Mayor, Commissioners, thank you. I'm Carl Larson for the Public Safety Systems Revitalization Program.
Push the button on the bottom of that thing there, Carl. There you go.
How about now?
Now you're good.
Carl Larson from PSSRP. I'm two project managers for the radio project. My co-project manager, Mark Tanner, is also with us here in the audience. I'll be very brief to let you know where we are with the project. We're about midway through the radio project. We have 14 sites. Originally, we had 15 sites that we were doing, one site's being decommissioned. So of the 14 sites, we have seven of those sites now installed, what we call cold install or ready for power up. So between September of this year and March of next year, we'll have all 14 sites with the equipment installed and with the antennas going on those sites as well. So we make very good progress on the infrastructure itself. On the portable and mobile side, we have distributed all of the portables and all of the mobiles for the police bureau. We have started on distributing the fire bureau's radios, and that will be accomplished over the next few months. And of that, that really takes in the bulk of the portables and mobiles that we have. We believe that the system will be up and as designed in the middle of 2015. We'll be able to start testing on that system. We'll be able to start moving units over, both inside and outside the city. And that process will take us all the way through June of 2016, when the process will be completed on time to you, Commissioner Novick, under budget. So we appreciate that very much. Just, Mark and I have the privilege of being the face of the radio project. A lot of people participate in the radio project. We've had a lot of help, and we continue to do so. And I just want to make mention BTS staff, Ben Berry and his staff, making sure that we have adequate resources within the city to do what we need to do. Scott Howes and his staff as the radio administrator and all his engineers making sure that they can do what they need to do and working with our contractors for that, and it's a monumental task. The sponsors that we have, Lisa Turley, director of BOAC, Chief Janssens, who's a sponsor, Chief Reese, and shortly Chief O'Day. Those folks are very busy folks, and we don't see them all the time. We try to keep them up to date as to what's going on, but they make sure that the resources within their bureaus are available to us to accomplish this and to keep us on track and on budget. So we appreciate that very much. My manager, Jeff Baer, he wanted to make sure I understood this was short and sweet, so I'll just mention him. And then we have all of the citizens that help us. We have our own radio project oversight committee that we work with. The ICC committee that we work with, the consultants that continue to watch us for QA and independent verification and validation, and all the vendors that are participating in this. We have a very good team process. We look forward to having a very successful project, and we know that all of you do too.
Carl, can you give us just a quick update on the status of our negotiation and relationship with the city of Gresham?
Gresham Butte, or Walt, we know it as Walters Hill. As you may have read in the papers there, when we originally put in that project, we had some disagreements with the city of Gresham as to what was necessary at Walters Hill. We have since spent a lot of time negotiating, talking to, commiserating with, if you will, the mayor of Gresham, along with your direction, Mayor, as to make sure that that gets resolved. I think as cooler heads got involved and that we looked at what we could do there, we resubmitted that application. That application is due to be responded from Gresham December 16th. From all indications that we've gotten, it's still a very positive outlook, and so we're very hopeful that that's going to come in a positive way.
You mentioned cooler heads prevailing. From your point of view, was this mayor the hothead or the other mayor the hothead? Who did you find was the biggest obstacle?
Yeah, that's a good question to not answer.
My mayor always gives the appropriate response.
Boy, is he smooth. Thank you very much.
Okay, Mayor Hales, Commissioners, my name is Jim Coker. I'm with OMF Facility Services, and I'm here to report on the Emergency Coordination Center project, which, as you all know, is pretty well complete. We have had a technical delay in actually closing out the construction project, which is the main reason for my report today. The construction contract with Emmerich Construction was substantially complete in October of last year, and both PBIM and the Water Bureau moved into the building last year, and there was a dedication ceremony in January. In late winter of this year, final punch list work was being completed, and Emmerich Construction was on track for final completion of the construction contract when a large mechanical unit was found to have experienced significant freeze damage over the winter. Because of the size and cost and technical challenges associated with replacing that unit, it took until this summer to replace that. Due to those technical issues, we had to delay the final building commissioning process, which is ongoing right now. The unit has been replaced. Final building commissioning is underway right now, and we are looking at doing final completion sometime next month, which will then allow us to come back to you with final closeout of the construction contract. The budget information submitted to the ICC that you have earlier this year remains the same with the project under budget. That completes my report.
Thank you. Any questions for our panel of great project managers? Thank you all very much. Anyone else that wants to speak on this item today?
No one else signed up.
If not, then I could use a motion to adopt the report.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Novick?
Thank you all very, very much. Aye.
Fritz?
Well, this is a very efficient and also effective report, and thanks particularly to the Citizen Oversight Committee for their diligence. It's important when we ask voters for money and the taxpayers have paid for these bonds that folks know that we've spent it wisely and efficiently, and indeed that's what we're hearing today. And the lack of anybody being, you know, it's really annoying when we have something that's really gone well, how there's nobody here, there's no reporters, there's no cheering in the galleries or marching band. We need to probably fix something around that, although then it would seem like that's an unusual thing, right? So maybe we can't have the marching band to celebrate you because this is what we're supposed to do. But thank you for doing what you're supposed to do and also reporting to us and to the people of Portland that their money has been spent well. Thank you for what Portland Fire and Rescue does in order to keep people safe and to save lives. Aye.
Fish.
I just want to remember that Measure 26-117 was spearheaded by former City Councilor Randy Leonard. And we joked the day after the election that he was landslide Leonard because I think it passed with 50.0-something percent of the vote. But it was vitally important. And I want to echo what Commissioner Fritz said. This is a terrific report. And the checks and balances on this are just right. In fact, the cover memo to the council is signed by the Chief Administrative Officer and concludes with the following. The program is on track to meet its objective. I recommend that council accept this report. So we have lots of eyes doing the work to make sure that these funds are being spent wisely and consistent with the referral. So I want to thank everybody for an excellent presentation. And I just also just want to acknowledge my appointee, Mick Seidel. And Commissioner Novick, I met Mick about 10 years ago, and I met him the way lawyers often meet other lawyers. He sued one of my clients. And in the course of that, I learned that Mick Seidel was one of the top trial lawyers in the state of Oregon. So we probably settled the case. And then we ended up tag-teaming on some work, and I got to know him. And I was frankly delighted when he agreed to take on this assignment because one thing about being a trial lawyer is you don't have a lot of free time or your time is episodic. And I think it's just a delight. When I saw him today, I was a little sheepish because I expected him to take me aside and admonish me for all the time he's been spending. And what he told me is what he said at council, which is he's learned a lot, and it's really been a great experience. And I'm just so grateful to Mick and all the citizens who've given up their time to be on this oversight committee. It's important work. So thank you. Aye.
Hales?
There's just way too much good news, competent management, and clear-eyed oversight in this room this afternoon. There must be something wrong somewhere. Thank you all very much. Well done. Aye.
The windstorm is tearing the city.
There is a windstorm outside, so yeah, they'll go outside for the bad news. It's all good in here. Thank you very much.
Are you standing over that last minute?